Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Today we consider the testimony of John the Baptist and his office. But we hear it from the mouth of Jesus the Lord himself. And really, the place that we ought to begin is down in verse 6, where Jesus concludes his statement to the disciples of John by saying this: "Blessed is he whosoever shall not be offended in me." Now, when we think of the word offended, we think of someone who has taken exception to something that someone has done because they consider it impolite or improper. And so they are offended by it. And what we mean is something, it's negative, but it's not as negative as the word in the Bible means. The word in the Bible is the word scandalizo, scandalizo. And you might hear an English word in there, scandal, scandal. To be offended is to be scandalized. What does that mean? Well, there was a little thing that was on a trap, and it was called a scandalone. And the scandalone was, let's say you wanted to catch a mouse. You would spread peanut butter on the scandalone. And then you would set the trap. And then when the mouse comes along, inexorably drawn to the peanut butter, his nose touches the scandalone, the trigger, and whammo, he's trapped. Right? That's what a scandal is. A scandal is a trigger. Right? It's something that triggers you and causes you to die. That's what Jesus is saying here. He says, "Blessed is he whosoever shall not be smashed to death by a trap in me." And so, but that's kind of hard to translate into English. So usually there are two ways that the Bible translates this word. Number one is to say, whosoever shall not be offended. And the other way is to talk about who shall not stumble, or to be made to stumble. All right, a stumbling block is put in front of a blind man to make him fall, to make him trip up and fall and hurt himself. And that's also how this word scandalizo, it means to put a stumbling block in someone's way so that they fall. And Jesus is saying, far be it that should happen to any one of you, that you should stumble over me, or that you should be ensnared by the devil, the world, and your own sinful human flesh because of me. All right? So let's go back now. Now that we know what Jesus is saying, let's go back and see. So John is in a dungeon in Herod's castle. He's not having a good time at all. But he is allowed certain freedoms. And one of the freedoms that he's allowed is to receive visits from his disciples. They come fairly regularly to visit him in this dungeon. And John receives them, and they are able to converse with one another. Now, in these conversations, it becomes clear to John that his disciples are having a rough time. They're not having fun. Number one, they've got this problem, and you've had this in your own life. They had banked on John the Baptist and had faithfully followed him, and now he's rotting in a jail cell, and that doesn't look right. You know, it's like, what on earth is going on here? You faithfully preach the word of God. You faithfully avoid sin and do what's right. And you end up going through all these kinds of troubles and trials and sorrows. Here's John. And what does he get for all of his faithfulness? And what do we get for all our faithful listening to him? He's in jail and we're kind of set adrift. We don't know what to do. Right? So there's that, you know, and they're offended by that. You know, it's bothering them. You know, what's going on here, John? What do you think is going on? John is listening to them. The second problem for John's disciples is that while John is rotting away in jail, this Jesus guy, he is capturing everybody's attention even more than John ever did. John's mission is being eclipsed by this Jesus guy. And that also kind of to the disciples of John, that they just don't get it, you see. John got it. John told his disciples when Jesus came to be baptized, John said, "Behold, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world." And John had said to his disciples in his preaching, "He must increase, but I must decrease." You see? So John is not the one who has the problem here. It's the disciples of John. They feel loyal to John, and their loyalty doesn't seem to be getting him anywhere. And they feel a little bit of resentment about Jesus because he's kind of eclipsing John's mission, kind of replacing John in people's hearts. Just as John had said he should, but they forgot that. Right? Then the third thing is this. The third thing that's offending them is that Jesus doesn't seem to be doing the things that John had said he would do. You know, when John talked about the coming of the Messiah who would come after him, John was talking about that guy who was going to knock heads and take names. John was talking about that guy, the axe is at the root of the tree, and every tree that does not bear good fruit, he will cut down and cast into the fire. Yeah! Right? That's what John said very often about the Messiah. John was big time into the glory of the coming Messiah. And he also understood the sufferings of the Messiah, but he didn't pay as much attention to that as he did about the glorious coming, because he was teaching the Israelites who they had focused on the glorious coming of Christ for so long. So he spoke to them about the glory of the coming of Christ, his power, his judgment, his punishment of the wicked, and his exaltation of the righteous. So here's this Jesus guy. He's eating with publicans and sinners. And he's teaching like nice stories. And he's doing all these nice miracles in every day. But when's he going to start knocking heads? When's he going to start showing who's boss? And they are offended in Jesus because he doesn't seem to be doing Christy things. Because they have a different kind of Christy picture in their head, and Jesus isn't living up to it. So John, in his great wisdom, he sends the disciples to Jesus. And this is an indication to us how to solve your problems with doubt. Take them to Jesus. John sends these doubtful guys to Jesus and says, let them hear it from the horse's mouth. And when they come to Jesus, they ask the question, are you the one, or should we be looking for somebody else? Because you don't seem to be looking like the guy, in our opinion. You know, no offense or anything, but you're not looking too Christy here, as far as we can see. All right, and so are you the guy, or are you just one more step along the way and we got to look for someone else? Now, Jesus, he has received their question, and he directs them to the prophet Isaiah. He turns their attention away from their own question to what does the Word of God say? And he says, and the first thing he says is this, go and show John again those things which you hear and see. You're watching me do these things. And then the first thing that he does, he quotes Isaiah 35. And I will turn to Isaiah 35 and read it to you. This is what Isaiah 35 says. Be strong, fear not. Behold, your God will come with vengeance, even God with a recompense. He will come and save you. Then the eyes of the blind shall be opened, and the ears of the deaf shall be unstopped. Then shall the lame man leap as a hart, and the tongue of the dumb shall sing, for in the wilderness shall waters break forth and streams in the desert. All right, it's talking about when the Messiah comes, these are the things that he will do. So Jesus, quoting this passage, which they recognize immediately, he says, what are you seeing me do? The blind receive their sight, the lame walk, the deaf hear, the lepers are cleansed, the dead are raised up. All right. So that's the first thing that Jesus does. He points them to a specific fulfillment of the prophet Isaiah, the king of all prophets. And he says, you see me doing these things, don't you? And then he refers them to another one. He refers them to Isaiah chapter 61, verse 1. He says, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings to the meek. And he hath sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord, and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn. So Jesus, he refers to Isaiah 61, and he says to them, don't you see? The poor have the gospel preached unto them. Just like it says in Isaiah chapter 61, where it says, to preach good tidings to the meek, the lowly, those who know they need a Savior. They preach, the Messiah will preach good news to those who are lost. And the good news is the gospel of salvation. So Jesus says, so now, you've got two passages of Scripture that are being fulfilled right in the front of your eyes, right now, today. Fulfilled literally and physically. But then Jesus doesn't stop there. Jesus gives us another verse that he is referring to. And it's in our verse 6. It says, blessed is he whosoever shall not be offended in me. Now, it doesn't appear on the surface that Jesus is referring to a passage of Scripture, but he is. And again, it's in the book of Isaiah. In Isaiah chapter 8, in chapter 7, Jesus gives, the Lord gives the prophecy to Isaiah, behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and thou shalt call his name Emmanuel. That's in chapter 7. All right. In chapter 8, it says this, sanctify the Lord of hosts himself, and let him be your fear, and let him be your dread. You see, the children of Israel, they were being plagued by these two guys. There was the king of Damascus and the king of Ephraim up in the north. And these two kings had formed an alliance, and they were harassing the Jews in Judea. And they were making war with the Jews, and the Jews were reacting to this by being unfaithful. They were looking around, trying to find some heathen nation that they could enter into an alliance with. All right, so they're looking at the Egyptians. They're looking at the Syrians. They're looking at the Babylonians. And they're going, who can we form an alliance with to protect us from these two kings, the king of Damascus and the king of Ephraim? All right? And Isaiah says, thus saith the Lord, trust in me, and I'll fix everything. And everybody in Judea goes, yeah. What we need is an alliance. We need to do some kind of political alliance. And the Lord's like, no, listen. Trust me. I'll get you out of this. Didn't I promise to send you Emmanuel? Didn't I promise that the virgin will conceive and bear a son and you'll call his name Emmanuel? Do you think I'm going to let that promise fall to the ground? Trust me. I'll take care of these two kings. And their Jews are like, nah. We need to enter into alliance. So they go and they enter into an alliance. And they tick the Lord off. Alright? Listen to me. They arouse the anger of the Lord. Because they will not listen to him. They will not trust the promise of God. They trust in the arms and strength of man, human alliances, rather than the Lord God. And it says, and so he says, let him be your fear, let him be your dread, and he shall be for a sanctuary, but for a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense. So, for those who will not believe, the Lord himself will become an occasion to stumble over, an occasion to take offense at. And the offense is aroused because of failure to believe the Word of God. God's Word becomes annoying to people who don't believe it. All right, to both houses of Israel, for a gin and for a snare to the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and many among them shall stumble and fall and be broken and be snared and be taken. All right, so those who refuse to believe the word of the Lord are destined to stumble and fall and be broken, to be ensnared and taken. But then Isaiah says this. He says, bind up the testimony, seal the law among my disciples, and I will wait upon the Lord that hideth his face from the house of Jacob, and I will look for him. So the Jews are they've made up their mind. They're not having any Lord stuff. They are going to enter into some kind of political alliance with some heathen country, and that's going to be the thing they trust in. And so God's word becomes an offense to them. Now you can see, when we go back to Matthew chapter 11, when Jesus said, "Blessed is he, whosoever shall not be offended in me, who will not stumble over me," he's referring to that passage in Isaiah where it points to people who refuse to believe the word of the Lord and its fulfillment in Christ, and they end up stumbling, falling, and being trapped in a snare. But he says, blessed is he who doesn't do that. But when the word of God comes to them and its fulfillment is shown to them, they receive it and believe it. All right, now, I'm coming around the bend. I'm coming into the home stretch here. Verse 7, as the disciples of John start going away, you know, because they have been duly rebuffed in their unbelief, and they have been duly encouraged in the word of God. And now they have to mull it over. So they go wandering off with a lot of stuff to think about. And meanwhile, Jesus turns to the multitudes, and he says about John, "What did you go out into the wilderness to see? An annoying noisemaker?" That's a reed shaken by the wind. "Did you go out in the wilderness to see an annoying noisemaker?" And he says, "Well, what did you go out to see? A man clothed in soft raiment? Did you go out to see an effeminate dandy?" Right? "Behold, they that wear soft clothing are in kings' houses. But what did you go out in the wilderness for to see? A prophet?" And then Jesus says, "Yes, and more than a prophet." Yes, a prophet and more than a prophet. Why? John is the last voice of the Old Covenant. The last Old Testament prophet. He's the end of the Old Testament and the beginning of the New Testament. So he's the final word of the Old Covenant. Right? And not only that, but his coming is a fulfillment of Old Testament prophecy. So Jesus says, is he a prophet? Yes, and more than a prophet. Why? Because this is he of whom it is written, "Behold, I send my messenger before thy face, which shall prepare thy way before thee." So John is not only a prophet with a message, but he himself is a fulfillment of prophecy. He's who Malachi was talking about. He's who Isaiah was talking about. The one who goes as the forerunner and prepares the way for the coming of the Christ, the Messiah. Now, Jesus doesn't say it here, but the implication of this, if John is, "I send my messenger before thy face, who shall prepare thy way before thee," if that's who John is, then who is Jesus? Jesus is the Lord. Jesus is the Messiah. Jesus is the one, the way whom John prepared. So by referring to John as the one who fulfills the forerunner prophecy, Jesus is also saying, without saying it, and I'm the one he was preparing the way for. And that's what we're celebrating today, is that we are celebrating this wonderful gospel fact that what God has promised in manifold and different ways, He has fulfilled, He has kept His word, and His word of promise has come to us with all the power of God to help us, to change us, to enlighten us, and to enable us, so that we may believe the word of the Lord and we may not take offense at the word of God, but receive it in faith and be blessed forever in Christ. Amen.